This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Craig Sullivan, Group Vice President, Product Management at NetSuite.
Good afternoon.
Craig, you work a lot in the internationalization of and localization of NetSuite. What does localization mean to NetSuite?
That's a good question, Steve. It really means different things to different organizations and also different things to different software companies and to different NetSuite customers. When you look at what enterprise software companies have done historically, they tend to do just enough to deliver a viable offering for a particular country. At NetSuite, we've focused on going beyond that to deliver something that provides a be local experience, something that's a cultural fit for the company and the customer in a particular country. And that's not just what it does, but how it does it. It goes beyond the basics of compliance and statutory support to delivering a cultural experience for our customer and our customer's users, so that they can more rapidly adopt the solution, be more efficient in running their business. And at the same time, we're also thinking about how we help our customers achieve a local experience and a local offering for their target markets as well.
Earlier this year, you announced Sweet People. Are you looking or have you done localization for Sweet People yet, or is that on the roadmap still?
That's something that's very much in process, actually, and I'll be talking about that in my session today, where we'll be launching Sweet People for the UK in a beta form in the first quarter of 2018, working with a few select customers to evaluate and to go through the solution as we've determined for the UK market, make sure that's ready, make sure they're comfortable and happy with the solution before we go to general availability here. And then from there, we'll be going on into other markets here in EMEA and beyond later in 2018.
Your core markets and your cover, and then maybe look in some of the Asian markets as well.
Yeah, exactly. Starting here in the UK and then moving into the Benelux, the Nordics markets. And then as we move into the JPAC region, looking at Australia and New Zealand in the first instance, and then into some of the non-English speaking, more complex compliance markets from there.
Germany is obviously one of the keen target markets for Mark Widdams. And Germany has its own challenges in terms of HR with Workers' Council. Is that 2018 or probably beyond?
We would expect that to be beyond. We're definitely cognizant of some more complexity there, some more compliance that our customers need to adhere to. And we want to make sure that we're ready and good to go for that market before we launch it.
And how easy is that localization process? And how have Oracle helped since the acquisition?
Yeah, so localization is a pretty hard thing to do and to do well, actually. As I mentioned, many organizations do just enough. We have a higher bar that we've set for ourselves, which we think is appropriate for the mid-market customer base that we're targeting to make sure that they can have that local ready solution, that be local solution. The benefits of working with Oracle, as we have done for the last year, are that out of the box, they provide us with access to more resources. Oracle's got a very large global footprint already. They've got office space at a minimum, as well as people on the ground in these various countries that we can work with, that we can talk to and gain great insights from. And also importantly, they have development organizations that are spread around the world as well. So we've been working very closely with part of the Oracle development team in China. We're building our own team now in India in an office that Oracle has in Hyderabad. And these are all things that were beyond what we were able to do as a standalone company. And we're benefiting as a result with that global footprint, being able to take more NetSuite resources and deliver that in-country solution.
When we first met 2 years ago, you shared an anecdote which stuck with me around you always watching TV ad when you get in first in the hotel room. Can you just expand on that and why you do it and what the benefit is?
Usually the TV's on when you get into the hotel room in the first place, so that's an easy thing to glance at when you're dropping off your suitcase. But no, it's turned out to be something that actually is very helpful, particularly in a country that you've perhaps not been to before, and certainly in a country that where English is not the local language, to really see how businesses in that country portray themselves. You learn a little bit about the culture, you learn a little bit about the cultural positioning, particularly if the advert is an international company that you're familiar with, and see how they portray themselves in that particular market, in Spanish, in Spain, for example. It's also interesting to see what the market is focusing on, seeing how and what the businesses are really telling their customers in that space. Are they focusing on the benefits of omnichannel commerce, for example? Are they touting order in the morning, pick up in store before you go to the party at night? Or are they focusing on, my favorite advert here at the moment is the Nagging Doubt advert that Swinton are running, really thinking of how they play on to the national psyche in many ways in terms of how they describe what's going on in the local region.
And we talked about localization, and this is probably a macroeconomic question, which is slightly left field maybe, but is the world getting closer? Go back 10 years, everyone was saying the world's shrinking in terms of communication, but in terms of business, is it still getting closer, or are things like Brexit having an impact? And actually, there seems to be more localization almost and less international binding together.
It's a good question. I think that the reality is that the world, through the technology evolution, through social media, through the power of the cloud in many ways, has become closer. And it's unlikely that that will change, regardless of any of the political turmoil changes that are occurring in that macro level. The reality is that brands have expanded globally. They've reached customers in all parts of the world. And so the impact of Brexit, the impact of some of the other things that are going on in other regions of the world, is that in some ways it will make the reach of businesses a little bit more challenging to execute upon and to continue to reach the customers that they have globally. But because that's already happening, that will continue. The systems that support that will become more advanced and able to ensure that those businesses and the economic footprint of these businesses globally will be able to continue.
We talk about localization, we always talk about countries, but what about in the US? Because some of the work I've done in the US is actually each state has different regulations about a lot of different things, including tax regulation as well. Is that a challenge, or is that easy to do, and is that an evolving dynamic change at the moment?
It's interesting, you know, because it's called sales tax across all 50 states, there's a perception that it is very similar and all states behave in the same way. But the reality is that there are different rules, you know, different rates of tax at the minimum, but also it's a very detailed tax. So, you know, depending on where you live, which side of the street, where your zip code falls, can actually cause you to pay a different level of tax in the United States. NetSuite's always had to think about that because the US was our first country. We've always had to think about how our customers need to meet those requirements. We've also had to evolve that, particularly with the e-commerce evolution, where the implications of tax are different as a result of selling online versus in-store. We're definitely seeing that the various states are further evolving to make sure that if someone's shopping online and that online store perhaps doesn't have a physical presence in their state, they want to figure out how they can get a slice of that tax pie. That's something that we've had to definitely deal with, but certainly not the most complex of the situations we've encountered around the world.
Do you see that kind of regional tax system in other countries as well around the globe?
Yeah, absolutely. Markets like India, for example, and Brazil, you see a lot of, let's say, competition down even to the city level to make sure that the appropriate taxes are calculated and also reported and paid into the appropriate jurisdiction. What's interesting is that you see a lot of rationalization taking place around, you know, some of these markets. So India, for example, has moved from a sales tax regime to a VAT-like regime with their new goods and service tax implementation. Some situations you see governments at the highest level realizing that things are too complex, seeking to reduce that burden for their businesses. In other countries, it's going to be a long time, I think, if ever, before they make that bolder step.
If you were advising a business leader in Europe in terms of the countries which are hardest to expand into in terms of their internationalization, which are the countries you'd say you need to think carefully before going into, and which are the countries maybe there are the easy wins?
It's a really interesting question, because the work that NetSuite's done with the One World product and the Be Local approach that we have to delivering capabilities makes, from a compliance and a statutory perspective, makes that market entry relatively easy. The challenge becomes when you think about everything beyond meeting that level of statutory obligation, which is really that in many markets, a local presence, certainly a local vehicle for communicating locally, is super important. Where you may be able to start selling into a market like Germany or France or Brazil or China from a UK head office using cloud and e-commerce, if you want to really capitalize on the opportunity for that market, you need to think about the investment that it's going to take to actually build a local presence there in that country. And that's where the extra complexity comes, both in finding the right people as well as being able to fund the early efforts for that market.
And we've spoken about the internationalization, but part of your role is also the product verticalization. We heard about Sweet People, which is a horizontal band, but what are the new verticals, or what are the verticals you're fattening out? I think Sweet World, we heard that you're looking at doing a few more micro verticals and looking at partners to do even more micro verticals, but are there any other big verticals left?
So you'll see us moving deeper into the existing verticals within the industries that we're already operating in fact. Within the services industry, we're starting to go deeper into advertising and media companies, because we've recognized that they have a range of complexity, particularly as it relates to trying to run their business and evolving their business into online advertising and the change in that business model. NetSuite's well positioned to solve that range of complexity. We're looking at nonprofit as a market where we can deliver an even better solution out of the box that will make them more efficient in doing good for their constituents and their target markets. We're focused on fashion retailers, companies that manufacture, sell in store, and sell online, that again have a complex supply chain, trading with manufacturing companies overseas and then selling to customers everywhere. We've got a range of target verticals that we're looking at within the industries that we've focused on traditionally. What's evolving for us is really our approach to that, and Sweet Success provides that unification of how we go to market and the solution that we go to market with that really represents the best of what NetSuite can do for your business and does so in a very rapid implementation, you know, taking advantage really of the 20 plus years and the tens of thousands of customers that we've worked with in the past.
Here at Next Ready Business Tour, what does that mean?
Next Ready Business. Really what we're talking about here is how, with NetSuite, a business is able to make a transformation that addresses the current inefficiencies, the lack of insight that exists based upon the systems and the legacy of their organization, and gets them ready for where they need to go next. And where they need to go next could be something that they've already determined. It's part of the vision that they have for their organization. But it also means to us that they're ready to address any surprises, any threats that may occur from a competitor, or in fact actually from change in the way that their customers perceive their business or wish to interact with their business. By being next ready, your organization is ready to take advantage of the change in the market and are free from the encumbrance of traditional systems.
So it's not just about fast growth companies.
Absolutely not just about fast growth companies. Of course, it is about them as well. But every business is being disrupted, let's say, by the changing economic situation, the changing political environment, and the changing expectations of their customers, particularly as they start to interact with the next generation of customer that have grown up using social media, mobile devices, always on approach to their lives. They're expecting with the way that they interact in their business environments as well.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Thank you, Steve.